All right, welcome back. Hour number three. Our first of our nightly coronavirus updates with Dr. Henry Nyman, PhD, on tap for you now. A couple of quick headlines here. They seem to be at variance, shall we say, from time to time, and actually more often than that. Dr. Faustus is now warning that any protection given by any coronavirus vaccine may be transitory, very short-lived. This is Tony Fauci's latest. Bill Gates smirked when somebody asked him about these vaccines. He said, will people die? And he just smirked. It's a bizarre behavior. You make of it what you will. The CDC says coronavirus is close to losing its epidemic status. Now, that's a numbers issue having to do with how many die vis-a-vis how many are infected. Doesn't mean that the virus is going away. It means it's changing its profile according to the CDC guidelines. There are some other interesting stories there that are up now in headlines. Be sure and do take a look. They're right there in a large group. I've kept almost all of them together. Been doing that lately. There's just too many stories out there. Ron Paul is asking, is the Texas coronavirus spike fake news? I'm just giving you a panorama here of what's going on. Fears are rising now over more animal-to-human viral transmissions, more diseases coming from animals. This is usually, there's a barrier in between humankind and the animals. We don't usually get, we do get some, but there's a suggestion here now that there is fear, that's out of the BBC, that more animal-to-human diseases are on the way. This is getting to be out of control, says an infectious disease expert. Well, you might say that, but all you got to do is count the numbers, look at the numbers. It's out of control here in the U.S., wide open. Miami-Dade is closing restaurants down now amid this coronavirus spike. We have all the latest totals from Dr. Nyman up there for you as well. There is a lot going on. Hello, Henry. How was your weekend?
Hello, Jeff. It was a busy weekend. Kind of makes sense out of the numbers coming out of these states. The holiday kind of produced all kind of combinations. Some states haven't reported anything since Thursday. And several didn't update today. They say they're going to update tomorrow, so they've gone 3 or 4 days without reporting. And the testing itself is creating havoc. There was an issue in Los Angeles County, which is the most highly infected county in California, and so they didn't test at all today. And
oh, they must have been listening to Donald. No testing.
Well,
no
it's cases. Well, it's affecting a lot of the states. Not so much that they're not testing because of Donald, is that they're not testing because they're running out of reagents. So I guess that's because of Donald, but it's not because he said so. It's because he never resupplied. So we're back to the shortages in reagents. States can't really run the tests themselves. Mm-hmm. And they've been shipping tests, samples off to, the two big national testing labs, Quest and LabCorp. And as a result, I think it was primarily from states in the South, they have a big backlog. So I think their backlog is in the 4 to 6 day range. And then there's also a backlog on getting tested that, the demand is so high in Arizona and Texas that they shut down the lines at like 2 minutes after nine. So if you don't get there like at 2 a.m. and get in line, you're not going to get tested. It's very hard to get tested. The number of cases is plateauing because everybody's maxed out. So they can't run more than, you know, whatever they're running at the two labs. So those numbers aren't going to go up. They're just going to flatline and extend for a longer time frame. And it's shaping up to be a major disaster. I don't think we have to wait until fall for the second wave, although there will be a second wave, but there'll be major problems before the second wave arises.
There may be a second wave hand in hand with an influenza season too. We don't know how bad that may be. We just don't know.
There's going to be a lot of problems. It's only July. July is going to be a disaster. August is going to be a bigger disaster. September, it'll just be totally crazy. In September, any of the schools that opened will close. And the flu season really doesn't start until October. So it's going to be unbelievably bad. And I think the game plan is to say, oh, this is kind of normal. There's nothing we can do about it. We'll live with it. I mean, it's what's going to come out of the Trump organization. So people are going to be used to 50, 100,000 cases a day and thousands dying each day. The numbers, just to give you a ballpark over the weekend, like I say, they bounced all over the place. Not everyone's reported. Saturday, the total I have is 52,900. Sunday it was 41,700. Today it was 40,600.
Got it.
So it got down into 40s instead of the 50s, but it always does for the weekend. And
especially a holiday weekend. Today was allegedly a third day of the holiday weekend for some. I didn't see it. But
Right. That's what I'm saying. Some of the websites have not reported. They did not report today. They're saying, you know, the totals for the weekend are going to come out tomorrow. Today is generally the results from Sunday, and so Sundays are typically lower numbers, so Sunday and Monday are usually low without a holiday, and then with this holiday, you know, it's all uneven. You know, some have reported, some literally haven't reported since Thursday. They didn't even report on Friday, and some of the ones that didn't report over the weekend, didn't report anything today. You know, they say we'll update tomorrow. So tomorrow, you kind of get an idea, but you have to realize what's going on. That these numbers that are being reported are lagging numbers for the southern states, where they basically are running out of reagents and using national labs. The reports they're putting up are from samples that were, you know, collected a week ago. So the samples they collected this week are just in line, waiting to be tested. They're not going to be tested until the end of this week or the beginning of next week. So there's a big lag in the number of positives that are reported because they're just in the queue waiting to be tested. So that's keeping the numbers
down.
That
kind of, excuse me, but that kind of ignorance on the part of news organizations, they come out and they say, well, America's cases have dipped, but they really don't know that they've dipped.
Yeah.
They don't have any idea.
Right. They haven't dipped. The only thing they talk about dipping is the number of deaths. The number of deaths has dipped, but that's because they're lagging, and the initial cases are younger people. So the younger people are getting sick enough to go to the hospital, and they're even sick enough to go into the ICU, but right. they're not sick enough to die, so that they end up recovering and getting discharged. A lot of them haven't been discharged yet because they, you know, they just started coming in. And, and so everything is lagging. And then, I heard a report this morning and it just highlights how poorly the press has covered the Italian strain. This one came out, I think, out of San Antonio. And they said, well, the virus that's hitting Texas is, replicating faster and transmitting more efficiently. And it's a new strain. Mm-hmm. And then that led to all these this mutated. It transmits more efficiently than the original strain. So then that leads to the questions, well, what's a mutation? What do you mean it's mutated? How much faster is it replicating? What does this mean? And the answer is kind of starts out by saying, well, you know, this isn't a brand new mutation. It has been around. It was in Europe.
Yeah.
And they don't get down to the, well, it's just the same virus that was in New York. And nobody asked that question. And it's kind of like, well, this is something new. And it isn't new at all. It may be new for Texas. It actually isn't new at Texas. It's what's new is it has gotten to a critical level. So it's expanding exponentially and the hospitals are getting overrun and they can't believe how fast the cases are coming in. And the reason they're coming in so fast is because they've got the Italian lineage that was in New York. And spreads very quickly, and it's more efficient at infecting humans than the other strains, and they're used to the other strains, and all of a sudden they've got this big influx because A, it's transmitting quicker or more efficiently, and B, it's gotten to this critical mass, so it's doing this in all the major cities, and it's even doing it in some of the smaller cities. I heard an alert that went out for, I don't know, it was for a couple of the counties in Texas. And it wasn't the counties with the big population centers. And it was a public announcement. And it said that the virus is spreading quickly and you should shelter in place and not leave your house. And it wasn't the major counties in Texas. It was coming some of the smaller counties, and those counties are their hospitals are full. They don't have the capacity that the larger counties have. You know, right. with the centers that are affiliated with the university, the teaching hospitals, and so. They've got a limited amount of beds, and they're basically shipping them all out. So they're shipping them to adjacent counties or counties with larger teaching hospitals that still have some room. But they're running out of room. And that's the point, is that it's not slowing down. There's nothing to slow it down. The numbers that are being reported are significantly lagging the reality on the ground. So the cases are coming in, and they're not dying yet. So the deaths aren't skyrocketing yet, but the cases are. And that's how we're getting into, you know, 55,000 a day, and that's going to pick up again tomorrow. So tomorrow it'll break 50,000 tomorrow. It could even break 60,000.
What's your forecast?
The limit is the testing. That's what I'm saying. It's hard to say how quickly it can go up because they can't test enough. They've got their percent positive on the tests
Got it.
Are 20-some-odd%. So they're at the same level that New York was at.
Right.
So this is New York level with the New York virus, with an even larger population if you look at the population of Florida, Texas, and Arizona, and you add all those up, it's got about double the population of New York. So you've got a larger population base. You've got the same virus. It's totally out of control.
Mm-hmm.
There's no big lockdown like there was in New York as a result of this. This one, they're just playing around the edges. Oh, we'll close the bars. You know, maybe some of these beaches should get closed. The restaurants should just do takeout. The in-person dining maybe should cut back. Maybe should eliminate. Maybe this. Maybe that. I don't know what. We're not going to do a mask. It's up to the individual locations or whether they should put on a mask or not.
We don't know, Henry. Excuse me. We don't know yet what the death rate is going to be vis-a-vis what it was in New York, for example. We don't know
it's
yet.
It's going to be insane. It's the same virus.
I understand.
The people
aren't
different.
I got that.
It's the same. That's what it's going to be. It isn't now.
The official stats from New York. That's all I can do is look at the official figures because I don't know any more than that. But I'm just saying that's what you're expecting then, the same. Okay, that's all right. Good.
It's the same virus. Why
it's
going
to be 2 to 3 weeks down the road before we start seeing the numbers.
The only difference, here's part of the difference, and you have to understand why this is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're saying, well, now the death rate's somewhat lower because we've learned more from New York in those experiences and how to handle the cases that are in the ICU. So, you know, they're supposed to keep them on their stomach and roll them over, and you're not supposed to necessarily hit them that hard at the beginning because their lungs are too damaged. But the key is, they said, well, part of the problem is the cases were coming in too fast. And they couldn't really give them the time that normally, if you're going to set them up on a ventilator to do it right, you've got a limited number of trained technicians that specialize in ventilators, and that you really have to adjust it for each patient. And
I would think
it takes about 45 minutes. You have to turn it up and turn it down and see how they're responding and do these adjustments. And in New York, they didn't have 45 minutes per patient. So they just set them up and said, good luck. And they didn't have luck. They died. 80-some-odd percent died.
Mm-hmm.
So they've improved on that because they had a lull in cases. So the cases in the Northeast now, I mean, New York is reporting less than 10 deaths a day for the entire state. So they've got the death rate reduced dramatically. And in the South, the numbers are just starting to take off. And they're starting with younger patients that have a better outlook. And so the deaths haven't started to explode yet. But with 50,000 new cases a day, or probably closer to 60,000 by the end of this week, you're going to get more and more going to the hospital. And you're going to get into the same position that New York was in, that they're coming in too fast to give them the right amount of attention to get them set up so they're going to survive.
This is very important information that you will hear nowhere else, okay? You just won't. So thanks for making that clear.
That's what the original concern was. That's why they did the lockdown. Because if they overwhelmed the healthcare delivery, more people would die. Because if they have the personnel, And
no one ever made that clear before, Henry. No one ever made that clear, that they literally would not have the time to do the proper medical evaluation and application of the technologies at their disposal. No one has ever made that clear.
And it's complicated. So the technicians have special training to get people on the ventilators. And it's the same thing for the ECMO machines. I mean, I just heard a report out of Texas saying they got 10 relatively young patients that would benefit by going on an ECMO machine. And that's the same thing, where you got the machine, but you also need the technician.
Yeah.
And you know what the problem was?
No ECMO machines.
Three. They had three ECMO machines and 10 patients. And so they had to figure out which of the 10 they were going to put on the three ECMO machine. So that's, those are
And they've had 6 months.
Problem.
They've had 6 months, excuse me. They've had 6 months to come up with some ECMO machines, and they've got three for this 10-patient group. This is another disgrace. Right. Another disgrace.
But,
one of Trump's favorite words.
This is the beginning.
Yeah.
These outbreaks in the South are just, it's not that they peaked. And
we'll see
what happens with all these patients that are in the hospital.
And this is not the second wave.
To take off.
This is the first wave.
This is the Italian strain.
That's right.
This is the Italian strain that spread throughout the country now. And that all these places that avoided it, the reason they avoided it is because, you know, they came from Europe.
Uh-huh.
And most of those people were from the East Coast. They were mostly from the Northeast. So the New York area got it first, and then they had it in Boston, they had it in Philadelphia, they had it up in the Northeast. That's where most of the virus was initially. And then it spread. I mean, people from New York and New Jersey went to Florida, and they brought the virus with them. And, you know, they said they were doing 10-day quarantines. Those are, you know, not that effective. And, you know, people, we're supposed to quarantine. They go down to Florida and they, you know, don't go anywhere for a couple of days. They say, well, I feel fine. There's, you know, it's ridiculous. I'm here for whatever. I'm not going to stay inside for 10 days. And they go out and, you know, they don't have to be symptomatic, or they could be pre-symptomatic. And the incubation period varies. And some people are going to get in Florida for 3 or 4 days.
Are we still looking at the same 80% will not need hospitalization, and 50% of that 80% are going to remain asymptomatic during the course of their infection? Is that still holding true as a generality?
Yeah, I don't think the asymptomatics are that high. They can't, they're not detecting the asymptomatics that frequently because they're not testing them. I mean, Trump said four months ago, anybody that wants to be tested can be tested.
He promised me. I remember that.
That's not close to reality. you can't get tested in most of these places if you don't have symptoms.
Got it.
And a lot of times you need significant symptoms like breathing difficulties. And even if you've got symptoms, it's set up for these off-site types of drive up and get tested situations. Some of them, you administer the test yourself. They have shorter swabs. You don't go all the way to the back. And other ones, they do it. But either way, they have a limited number of sites with a limited number of tents available to basically have somebody stand there and stretch a basket out to your window that's got your swab in it that you take out and then you put back in. And it doesn't go that quickly because you literally, you know, have to drive up. They have to give you the instructions and they have to, you know, give you the sample, the materials to do the swab and then you send it back. And I did it where, you know, the person in the car was taking their own swabs, and those lines do not move that quickly. Here in Pittsburgh, they had two tents set up. I mean, there were two cars per sample collection, and it takes about 5 minutes on each one. So you can kind of do the math. You can figure out how many cars mm-hmm. are going to get done. They're not going to get that many done. And that's what's happening at these sites. And to be in line, you have to already have an appointment. I mean, you have to apply. You have to meet their criteria to be tested. Then you're given a date and time to show up. And so that's who's in line. If you're asymptomatic, you're not getting a reservation. You're not coming in to be tested. And if you do have a reservation in these hard-hit states, that's still not a guarantee. They tell you to come with a full tank of gas and get there early because you're going to be in line all day.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean you're going to get tested. It depends where they draw that line. Some of these people come at 2 in the morning and get in line. And if you get there at 9 o'clock, they've already closed the line. And then they had the situation in Los Angeles where people came and I thought it was great. There was no line, but there was no mm-hmm. line because they're not testing because they got mm-hmm. some issue with reimbursement or something. So they got the Dodger Stadium for testing without any testers. And so, it's a disaster. The numbers you're seeing are a gross underestimate. They're delayed, they're backlogged, mm-hmm. and you're seeing the hospitals fill up, and you're taking big states like Texas with a lot of beds, and you know they're saying in a week or two, they're going to be out of beds. And it's not going to stop in a week or two. There's nothing slowing this down. And then you got the guy in Florida, DeSantis or whatever his name, the governor. He's going to say, "Well,
Ron DeSantis.
You know, the good news,
yeah,
right. Oh, the good news is they're, you know, these are younger patients, and you know the death rate has dropped, and it's kind of like, well, you know, that's a good news for yesterday. The point is, number one."
Mm-hmm.
These are going to spread throughout the whole population. If you got a whole lot of people that are infected, and the first ones that get infected are the ones that are going to the bars and basically not socially distancing, they're going to get infected. But invariably, other family members are going to get infected by them, and those family members are going to infect others, and pretty soon you're not going to just have young people there. That's what happened in eastern Pennsylvania. In eastern Pennsylvania, it started out with mostly young people, and they had, you know, very good demographics. You could almost, at the beginning, you could actually get the ages of almost any patient because they divided them up into very small areas. It only had a handful of patients, and they listed the range. In some cases, there were only three cases, so they... One of them was the low end of the range. The other was the high end of the range. And the third mm-hmm. one was in the middle. And the high end of the range was like in the 40s. It was exactly what you're seeing in Florida. So Eastern PA, Philadelphia suburbs started out just like Florida was. It was slow. I even had a representative from Pennsylvania sent me an email and said, "Well, look at this. Look how young all these patients are." And it said, "Well, yeah, they're young." And then a week later, they were a little bit older. And a week after that, they were a little bit older. And you look at it now, and, you know, there's nothing unusual. It got into the nursing homes, and it started spreading. And then about half of the deaths were long-term care facilities. And there was nothing unusual a month into it, other than there were a lot of cases and a lot of deaths. And so that's what's going to happen in Florida. He's going to make it a big deal out of how the death rate is low now. It's not going to stay low. It's going to go up. And then the announcement today is the kicker. I mean, this is Trump telling these governors what to do and them just saying, yes, sir, and doing it. It medically, it makes no sense. And the goal is to revive the economy. And if you are number one in the world with cases and going up dramatically, then the economy is not going to do well, even if you open things up, because you're going to start getting the word that, so, you know, oh, do you hear about this place? They got four positives. Oh, this person went to the hospital. Oh, this person died. Do you hear about that? He's only 50 years old and he ended up dying. People aren't going to, they're not going to do this. But the kicker is today they said all schools in Florida are open for business. You know, there are no school closings allowed in the state of Florida. And this is so similar.
Wait a minute. When do schools start in Florida?
I don't know. I seem
September?
To recall most of the southern states are like August.
A month earlier. I think you're right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know if that includes Florida or not. I remember with swine flu, throughout the South, they all started August 1st or, you know, whatever it was, the first Monday in August or Tuesday in August or something. So they started at the beginning of August. They started 2 or 3 weeks ahead of most of the schools further north. So I'm not sure if Florida is the beginning of August, the middle of August, but my guess is that so many southern states are at the beginning of August, it's earlier rather than later. And it's probably in the early first half of August, I would guess.
August, Henry, August 12th.
There you go. Yeah, that's what I was guessing. So August 12th, everybody's back in school. And you know, the idea is, well, everybody's got to go to school so the parents can go to work, and they're going to, I will guarantee you that by the middle of September, those schools will be closed. Now, okay, maybe the end of September, but probably the middle of September. I would give them a month. With a month, they'll have so many students infected, and so many teachers refusing to go because they're at risk. I mean, some of the teachers are 50 years old, 60 years old. They got all these cases in the school. They don't want to do in, you know, they'll do online, but they don't want to do in person. And that's what the situation is going to be. It's going to be just like the swine flu. The swine flu kind of slowed down a little bit over the summer in 2009. And as soon as the schools opened up, the virus started to spread. And up here, it spread initially with a real mild thing. People had coughs. They weren't going to the doctor. They weren't staying home from school. It was spreading. And then it took about 6 weeks into the school year. Then all of a sudden, people started going to the nurse's office. They had 100.4 temperatures. They were sent home from school. The absentee rate went up to 10-15%. It went up that high with the teachers. When it got up to 10-15% of the teachers, they couldn't keep the school open because they had nobody to teach, and they ended up shutting down some of the schools. But that's when the virus took off, is it had all those students. And the same thing's going to happen with this. Now, the students may not get as sick, but they're going to still have the virus, and they're going to bring the virus home, and they're going to infect their parents, and they're going to infect their grandparents, and the numbers are going to explode. And that, I mean, you've already seen the explosion in the South. Part of it was loosening up the lockdown, and part of it were the holidays. Yeah, you had Memorial Day, and, you know, all of a sudden,
sure,
3-4 weeks after that, the numbers start to get out of control. And now you got the 4th of July. That's going to do the same thing for the end of July. And then you're going to start school 2 weeks after that. So this is, you're just feeding the virus. You got all of these people out there and say, here's another host for you. And the virus is fine. They don't care whether you're testing. They don't care whether you're putting out these nonsense statements like Trump. I mean, it's his latest. I mean, this is well into the big lie category. This is where the lie is so absurd and so big that people believe it because they say, well, he couldn't say that if it wasn't true. And so this weekend, he went and said, oh, you know, we're doing a lot of testing. We're number one in the world in testing.
Right.
We've done almost 40 million tests. And, you know, of those that are positive, 99% are, quote, totally harmless, unquote. Okay? Now, this is a grade school math problem. Okay, he says there's 40 million that are tested. Now, everybody tested isn't positive. The positive rate's, you know, ballpark figures, 7%. 7% of his 40 million is like 2.8 million. And the number of positives is 2.8 million. Okay, so there's 2.8 million that are positive. He's got 99% totally harmless, meaning only 1% is harmful. And 1% of 2.8 million is 28,000. Now, the number dead is 100,000 more than that. So he's saying that other than 28,000, everybody else is totally harmless. So that would mean there's, you know,
right,
at most 28,000 dead. There's 128,000 dead. And that doesn't count all the people that have gone in and have some type of permanent injury. They basically have breathing difficulties when they get out. They've recovered. Mm-hmm. They've survived. Mm-hmm. But they're still not at 100%. It's not clear when or if they're going to be at 100%.
Yeah.
And then the whole gamut of heart problems and neurological issues,
and
the children have these other issues, and it is wide open as to how permanent these are. But 128,000 are permanently dead. That's already set. And that number
they're saying
is
over 130,000 now. Yeah, they're
right,
saying over
right,
130,000.
Right.
The mayor of Atlanta is now infected. Ms. Bottoms.
Right.
Is now infected.
Right. So is her husband, and so is one of her four children. Bolsonaro or whatever from Brazil.
Brazil. Bolsonaro. He still hasn't gotten it, has he? Officially?
No.
His press secretary did.
No, wait till tomorrow. He is symptomatic. He has a fever. He was tested today. Results are tomorrow.
Got it. Okay.
And all they've said is his lungs are clear, which means he doesn't have pneumonia yet. But he was coughing last week, and he's got a fever.
Mm-hmm.
And they said why they waited till today to test him. I don't know. He was coughing last Thursday. But anyway, they took a sample today. They'll have results on Tuesday.
See, if they had tested him every day like they test Trump and Pence, he never would have gotten sick. That's the secret, just to get tested every day, isn't it?
Right. No, secret is to not test.
Trump's case, he gets tested every day, so that clears him. He says, I'm fine. I get tested every day. Pence is saying, how have they both dodged this? It's pretty amazing.
I'm not sure that they have. They dodged saying it by not saying it or denying it.
Yeah, I get the point.
I'm not sure that they've. They haven't released their test results.
Hydroxychloroquine saved both of them. I see.
Right.
I get it now.
Right. Well, he has taken it. Bolsonaro's taking that with the antibiotic. He's taking both of those right now. Yeah.
Remdesivir, or whatever it is.
No, he's not taking remdesivir.
He didn't take that?
Right. No. He's not taking that. He's taking the
Well, Donald told him, take hydroxy. That's it.
He's taking hydroxy and zithromycin, I think. So he's taking those two. And he thinks that'll do the trick. But he's already symptomatic, and he's been coughing since Thursday. So
got it.
Tomorrow they're supposed to have results. I don't know if they'll have accurate results.
Well, rather sad story of that Broadway actor Nick Cordero ended today, and I think many of you saw that. He did finally die after even having his leg amputated. The guy really just horrific ordeal with that he lost.
Right. He was 41.
Yeah.
So, and actually, the story, speaking of stories, the one you mentioned about CDC saying something about not epidemic, I haven't seen that, but that doesn't sound anywhere close to being accurate, so I'm not sure exactly who said what. But, that makes zero sense. Number one, the Italian strain is everywhere now, including the United States and everywhere in the United States. And number two, the cases are approaching 60,000 per day, and that's an underestimate because they're limited by the ability to do testing as well as a lag time in reporting the testing. So there is no way that the CDC, an epidemic isn't even the right term. So I'm not sure what you saw, but CDC wouldn't use the word epidemic to describe a pandemic. And the CDC wouldn't say that it's losing its pandemic or epidemic.
Epidemic.
I'll pull it up here.
They were talking about in the U.S.
Is that a news report or that's the CDC?
Let me find out.
I mean, the CDC wouldn't use the term epidemic for a pandemic. I mean, scientists are pretty precise. This is not an epidemic. SARS was an epidemic.
Coronavirus deaths in the country have nearly reached a level where the virus will cease to qualify as an epidemic under Centers for Disease Control and Prevention rules, the federal agency reported on Friday. This is Friday. The CDC qualifies a disease outbreak as an epidemic if the number of deaths attributable to the disease exceeds a certain percentage of total deaths per week. That threshold for pneumonia, influenza, and COVID-19.
Who's reporting this? That's just nonsense. Yeah,
Daniel.
I'll take a look at it.
I'll send it over.
That was an issue with swine flu. With swine flu, some of the reporters said, well, how can it be a pandemic when the number dead isn't that much higher than seasonal flu? And the answer was that the pandemic is defined by it being a new virus and spreading worldwide. The fatality rate is not part of the definition. And
I didn't push this story because I think what's happened here is an individual tried to extrapolate from CDC data and missed the point. I think this article, frankly, is not correct.
The point. They're using the wrong terminology. There is no. This is clearly
you can't reverse
a pandemic.
From pandemic to epidemic. I understand.
Right. So the CDC wouldn't wouldn't basically call it an epidemic. And pandemics don't go away. They don't disappear. This is Donald Trump's, you know, lunacy. Pandemics do not go away. They spread throughout the world. They can get replaced. They can get replaced, but they don't go away. And they're not dependent upon the death rate. And so this article sounds like pure fantasy by the author. And he's attributing
I think he's
misinterpreting whatever they said.
I think he is misinterpreting, yes. After looking through this and checking the links to the CDC, I think he's simply in over his head.
Right, because epidemic's the wrong word, and saying this is related to fatality rates, when when the fatality rate in Brazil is going through the roof. And I mean, the fatality rate for the U.S. is temporarily down. No scientists, politicians are, but there are no scientists that are saying, oh, the fatality rate is down. This is great. I think it's going to go even lower, or I think it's going to stay this low. They all know that the only reason it's this low is because these initial cases in this new outbreak or outburst.
That's a better word.
Are young.
That's good.
They're young, and so they're not dying as quickly, and it's too early to even know how many are going to die. Most of them are still in the hospital.
I said that. We're 2 to 3 weeks away from any real meaningful death statistics.
Right. So this guy is talking about an epidemic, and he's talking about death rates, and the death rates, number one, they're artificially low in Russia. I mean, their numbers aren't believable. But the death rate in Brazil is exceedingly high. And the death rate in India is not far behind because they all have the same virus. They all have the Italian version. This transmits very efficiently.
We're going to have to change it to the American strain here pretty soon.
And it's worldwide. Well, no, it started in northern Italy. That's when it became very clear. There was something unusual going on. Because it was in northern Italy that was in a fairly
When they found it in the sewage
area.
They found it in the sewage earlier. Two there. It was a month or two earlier, they found samples.
And so the virus was there in general. And part of this was were workers from China, that they had workers that were in
Do you know they had a campaign in Italy?
In Europe.
Did you know they had a campaign in Italy? Hug a Chinese. It was public. I'm not kidding. They had T-shirts and everything. Hug a Chinese. And that's where all this came from.
Yeah, well, I think the workers brought it. But anyway, I don't know what I mean.
They were trying to be cordial to the workers who were there in northern Italy.
Right. So I mean, it's a global economy. There's people coming and going.
Oh, and are we in trouble? You just wait. This fall?
Maybe not so much now. But the fact that it was in China in like probably September, based upon satellite photos of parking lots of the hospitals in Wuhan, it started a couple of months before anything was announced. And people, the virus doesn't care who's saying what. They don't care if you've identified the virus or you suspect the virus or if you put out a press release or you didn't put out a press release. The virus just is off and running. And if people basically had some mild symptoms and they were supposed to go, you know, start work in Italy or they were going to some other European country, they went to that country and other people got sick, and the flu season started up, and I figured they had some upper respiratory tract infection or something, and they don't really notice it until you get clusters of dead people, and they had those in Wuhan before they had it anywhere else. But that doesn't mean the virus wasn't there. It just wasn't detected. Well, they didn't even have a test for it. So they didn't even suspect it at the time. But anyway, right. tomorrow we'll have new numbers. I think we'll definitely have above 50,000. We might get up to 60,000.
We should have a lot of numbers coming in tomorrow.
Right, right. And so I'll give a much more accurate picture, but it's still going to be delayed because the labs are maxed out. So that all that's going to happen is that the percentage of positives is going to go up because they can't increase the testing to match the increase in infections.
Right.
So they're only going to be testing the sickest, and the percentage is going to go up. But the number of cases is somewhat problematic because there aren't enough testing materials in the national labs are just overrun with samples. They're just backed up, and it's a 4 to 6 day delay. You know, and it's probably going to get worse.
Not to worry. Trump is having a big open door rally in Massachusetts this coming week. That'll be fun too. See how many masks we count.
I thought it was in New England, but I didn't think it was Massachusetts. But
I think it's Massachusetts.
I thought it was like Vermont or something. It was a weird place. I didn't think. Let me see.
Trump new campaign rally this week.
I think it's like Vermont or New Hampshire or something.
New Hampshire.
Anyway, it's in the Northeast.
Right. New Hampshire. Yeah.
But
correct.
But he is going to have it outdoors, and they are going to hand out masks. He says he's going to encourage people. The only way anybody's going to wear the mask is if he does.
Is if he does.
If he comes out there without a mask.
No.
Right. So we'll see how well that encouragement works.
Right.
But he's got a lot of flack from, you know, infecting all these people in the earlier ones. So he's trying to do something about it.
Got to run.
Okay.
Talk to you tomorrow, Henry.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye. Yeah, thanks. Be right back with you tomorrow night. Be well.